You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC on a Friday on which I am back. I have very little idea what's gone on in the last few days because I have pretty much switched off other than to annoy a few people on Twitter. I've even stayed away. I do know that Liverpool have appointed a new sporting director, and that is Richard Hughes. Joins the club from Bournemouth, where he's been technical director for quite a while. Now, he has been sidelined somewhat there over the last year and a half since the new owners came in. But he's highly rated by Michael Edwards. He's highly rated in regards to his ability to manage departments and processes and keep things linked and keep the noise away from the manager and do things like that. So you would assume that Edwards will be in charge of recruitment, which is exactly what we need. And then Hughes can handle sort of the day-to-day running of things, which is going to be vital under a new regime. So with Edwards in, with Hughes in, that just leaves the one big appointment, which is the next manager of Liverpool Football Club. There's obviously two prominent candidates, Xabi and Ruben Amorim. Very much the emotional choice is Alonso, and we'll see what the club do. There's plenty of fluff and bluster. The headline article on This Is Anfield is Alonso saying that the only thing he regrets in his career is not winning a league title at Liverpool. Well, you know, I mean, it's all well and good saying that now. Let's see, though. Let's see what happens. He's obviously having a tremendous season in charge of Bayer Leverkusen. Did see a funny interview with Uli Hoeneß, long-time director at Bayern Munich, talking about four clubs working on the Alonso deal. And he named Bayern, he named us, he named Leverkusen, and he named Real Madrid. Now, the reason you can tell he's spoofing is that he named Leverkusen, who aren't working on an Alonso deal because they already have Alonso. He also named Real Madrid, which is odd because Real extended the contract of Carlotti. So you wouldn't imagine they're looking for a new manager this summer. Next summer, I would imagine they will be very keen to get Alonso or someone similar in. And Alonso could make sense if he stayed at Leverkusen for a year and then was to join Real. That I think, honestly, is the best plan for him. But we'll see what happens. Also on This Is Anfield, there's a look back at when Jürgen left Dortmund. I remember watching that game, I remember watching the aftermath of it, and it was quite incredible to see the outpouring of love from the Dortmund fans to Klopp. And obviously Ferguson had left United a year before, and obviously they adored him, but it wasn't like that. Now, it's also because of German fan culture and just how deep they go and how far they're willing to go to show, you know, what somebody means to them. It was really, really impressive. Revealed, Liverpool were 8 days from lifting the Premier League trophy in front of fans. Peter Moores, the former CEO of Liverpool, has come out and said in an interview that before the COVID lockdown, when it became clear that lockdowns were going to be the future, there was a plan in place that should Liverpool beat Everton and Crystal Palace, there would be 7 games left in the season. Liverpool would have the title wrapped up and they were going to lift the trophy early on the off chance the season had to be postponed or potentially cancelled. They wanted to have that all lined up. With Turuendo returning to Liverpool early but not due to injury, Japan's game got cancelled, didn't it? Isn't that what's happened there? Real Madrid monitoring Trent Alexander-Arnold contract situation. Captain obvious Fabrizio Romano, who's been exposed in very comical ways in recent weeks, stating the obvious there. Arsenal have banned 3 fans for Hillsborough tragedy chanting. That's really good. And it's time that more clubs followed suit. Now, United would probably need to ban most of the Stretford end based on their behaviour last summer if they were to follow suit, but we wouldn't expect too much from that shower. But good to see Arsenal doing what's necessary. Liverpool target reveals plan for Premier League move. Is this Theon Koopmeiners? Because I would bet a significant amount of money that with Pep and Linders leaving the club, it is Theon Koopmeiners, with Pep and Linders leaving the club, there would no longer be interest in him. Striker who left Liverpool after 17 years is now shining at a new club. That's Paul Glatzel. He's 23 now, and unfortunately for him, he's had so many injuries that his career really went in the wrong direction. But he's doing well at Swindon, and I'd love to see him excel because the kid has a ton of talent. It's just a fitness issue with him. And it mentions in the article that Charlie Austin is in their squad, and that, you know, they've got some decent attacking options, but he started 11 of 12 games and he's got 3 goals and 3 assists. And Charlie Austin is a really good sort of role model for him to have there in terms of overcoming a lot of adversity in your career and going on to have a very successful career. Now, look, Austin's career, it's not like he won.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
A ton of medals or anything, but when you look at what he did in his career, he came through the academy at Reading, was released at 16, it didn't come through, got released at 16, so never quite managed to come through the academy. And then he spent 3 years playing non-league, and he scored for fun at that level, and then Swindon took a chance on him when he was 20. and he excelled there. He went to Burnley. He excelled there. He did very well at QPR. Not so well at Southampton. He had a lot of injuries. He had more injuries at West Brom. He's gone back to QPR. He's gone to play with Brisbane Roar in the A-League. And he's now found his way back to Swindon in the last couple of years. And again, he's doing well. But Charlie Austin showed that you don't need to have the standard path. You don't need to have that great academy career and break into a senior club team at 17. You can work your way through the divisions. And he started off, obviously, like I said, in non-league. Jumped from non-league to League One. And it wasn't like he was playing in the, like, the Conference League. He was playing in the Wessex League Premier Division, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the 7th or 8th tier in English football. Jumped to Swindon in League One and scored 19 goals in 33 games in the first league season, which is really good. Played there for a season and a half, moved to Burnley, did really well with them in the Championship, 25 and 37 in his second season there, moved to QPR, helped them get promoted, and his first ever Premier League season at the age of 25, got 18 goals in 35 games. Now, he didn't repeat that because they got relegated. He stayed in the Championship with them. He scored 10 goals in 16 games and got a January move back to the Premier League to Southampton. But his time at Saints was just ruined by injuries. But, like, it's still a really good career, regardless of what way you want to look at it. Like, he'd have made good money playing in the Championship. He'd have made good money under his Premier League contracts, which he had for six different seasons. He did score goals at all levels. Like, that's somebody that Paul Glatzel can look at and think, right, maybe I take his path. Maybe I don't need to take the same path as a Conor Bradley, Jadon Dans, the lads that are younger than him coming through at Liverpool, getting those first team opportunities that he was on the brink of getting before the injuries started to mount up. What else do we have here? Trent Alexander-Arnold has optimistic return date as injury rehab steps up. There's pictures of Stefan Bisetic in training and people are getting very excited about his calf muscles. But, you know, people need reasons for excitement, so who am I to tell them not to be excited over his calf muscles? Yeah. So Kloppo has said that Trent and Diogo Jota could well be available for the trip to Old Trafford on April 7th. That's really promising. Chris Bascombe says that Trent is actually eyeing the game before that, which is Sheffield United at Anfield. So that could be huge. I think Curtis is expected back for the Brighton game. Klopp has said that Bisetic is having a pre-season and then he should be ready to go. We'll see how much he plays. Jurgen, in the last span of a season, does tend to filter out some of the younger players. So I don't know that we'll see a whole lot of Conor Bradley once Trent is back. Don't know that we'll see a whole lot of Jarrell Kwanzaa barring injuries. Wouldn't expect we'll see much more of Bobby Clark with Curtis coming back. Gravenberch obviously is coming back as well. So, you know, those younger players, they've played a huge role this season, but we might not see a ton more of them this season. What else has gone on in the last week? There's been a lot of talk around Luis Diaz. Romano has said that there's nothing really there at the moment, so he's probably on his way to Paris Saint-Germain. Liverpool FC partner with Google to predict corners and increase chance of goals. Okay, that's interesting. I've been on the wrong side of Jurgen Klopp before, but he's a good person. That's by David Lynch. After Klopp got some flack for a comment he made to a journalist who asked him a stupid question. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Liverpool's timely boost, but right back day's number. I look at the two guys that are being linked. He doesn't fit in central midfield for either of them. He's just not the type of player they use in midfield. I think Trent is going to be playing as a right wing back for us next season. Now, Alonso and Amorim use their wing backs in different ways, and you'd expect that Trent would play more like Grimaldo does for Leverkusen, but obviously on the right-hand side. Amorim might change what he does to use him in a similar way, but we'll have to wait and see. There's talk, obviously, that he could go to Real Madrid. Talk that they're monitoring his contract situation. I mean, he's going to play right back for them. He hasn't got a hope of making it into midfield for Real. Not a hope. Valverde, Tchouameni, Camavinga, Bellingham. Where's he playing? He's playing right back for them. And I do wonder about Trent and Alphonso Davies. They landed those two. That Trent and Alphonso Davies, that's the pairing that we should have had. Because we had that Alphonso Davies deal pretty much wrapped up years ago from Vancouver Whitecaps. I do wonder what that would look like. On to AnfieldIndex.com. Fabrizio Romano, the truth about Liverpool star's future. That's about Luis Diaz. There's another piece about Diaz. There's a piece about Liverpool eyeing up Bournemouth's chief scout, Mark Burchell. I'd be curious as to whether he would be for us or for the second club that we seem to be building towards, you know, putting a structure in place for before that move even takes place. We've been linked with the technical director from Roma as well. David Ornstein had that story. So that's interesting. And Ben Boxack. Carl and Guy did a scouted looking at the Euro 2024 playoffs. And there was an under pressure with Dan, Hamza and Cy Brundish to review the last two games. Dave Davis also did a couple of news rounds, I assume to fill in for the lack of this. I don't know if he's going to keep doing them. If he does, great. If not, well, you've got me, so congrats. We've got a scouted that we are about to record now, and I'm sure there will be a lot more to come. There is definitely going to be a couple of Buzz podcasts recorded soon, so keep an eye out for those. Do listen to the latest one we've done, which is our top 10 favourite movie villains. Tremendous crack. Tremendous crack had by all. We've also recently done one on Cillian Murphy, which was also great fun. So do give those a listen. Support Buzz. Support Anfield Index. Support me.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.